Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place podcast. I'm here with James. How's it going, James?
Hello, everyone.
Some quick ways to support us here. We have a Patreon. We got our first one that signed up the other day, so thank you so much. If you would like to sign up as well, you can do that at patreon.com/mtgplace. We also have a TCG player affiliate link. We know you're going to order Magic cards, so you might as well use the affiliate link. The link is in the show notes. It's a crazy long link. It's also in our Discord. But if you click that before you order cards, it helps us out. And also, lastly, we are sponsored by Zencastr. It's an all-in-one podcast production suite that gives you studio quality audio and video without needing all the technical know-how. It records each guest locally, then uploads crystal clear audio right into the suite so you have high quality raw materials to work with. Zencastr is an all-in-one podcast production suite that gives you studio quality audio without needing all the technical know-how. It records each guest locally, then uploads crystal clear audio right into the suite so you have high quality audio and materials to work with. And if you want, if you're interested in signing up to try and make your own podcast or something, you can use zen.ai/the MTG place to get 30% off.
Awesome. Yeah, they're like the Squarespace of podcasting.
Right.
Basically. It's really simple. So, yeah. Highly suggested.
We got some Magic headlines here to get into here. So the first bit here is the Nuka Penna Championship. It's going to be the first Magic World Championship. It's May 20th through the 22nd. Players are going to play Standard and Historic. There's $450,000 in prizes. And the winners of this will get to go into the Magic World Championship 8 later this year, or 28 later this year. So the first play-in to get in to qualify for this is, or the first play-in to get into the Magic World Championship is May 28th and 29th. It's a qualifier weekend. And you can qualify by playing, getting qualifier tokens, and then you can play in the qualifier weekend. And if you do well there, then you get in. So that's May 27th, 28th, which is pretty cool. And the Streets of Nuka Penna Families festivals are continuing, so you can get different card styles if you play all the different festivals on Arena. And then something new for Explorer was added to Arena, which is basically Pioneer, but the Arena version. So it's only the cards that are actually in Arena that are Pioneer legal. So it's most of them. There's a few sets missing. But they just banned Winota and Tybalt's Trickery in that format because they were causing problems.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so then the qualifier play-ins. Also, there's one on the 21st, one on the 27th. 21st is a Streets of Nuka Penna sealed event. If you get six wins, you get to go to the May qualifier weekend. The other one is on the 27th, is a best of three sealed. So it's traditional sealed. You need four in traditional wins.
All right. So
it's interesting. And then the qualifier weekend itself will be a sealed traditional on day one and then a draft on day two. So that's interesting.
Sounds like a nice event for sure.
Yeah, you can win some money. I think they give away $200,000 that weekend too.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Not to mention the cards. I mean, the cards are great, but money's even better.
Yeah, you could do it all from your home just by playing Arena.
Yep. Sick.
Also, June 10th, Commander's Legends Baldur's Gate comes out. The spoilers have already started. There's some sweet cards in there.
Yeah. I love how it literally sounds like an anime.
Well, it's named after the D&D game.
Oh, that's why it sounds familiar. I'm like, that name really sounds familiar. Okay, that makes sense.
Because it's Commander Legends D&D Baldur's Gate.
Got it. Okay. Okay. That makes a lot of sense, actually. Okay.
Yeah. So now, for finance, we're going to try and make James guess here the top five cards in Revised. most expensive ones, not counting dual lands or power.
And revised. Oh, so the set revised, right? Okay. Yeah, because dual lands and power are going to be the big ones, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Well, power isn't in revised, but dual lands are.
Well, yeah, yeah. God, I'm trying to think. What else is there? Because like that's like the things you think of. Demonic Tutor.
Demonic Tutor is, let's see, one. It is number 5.
Hey, awesome! I got one.
So it's the first one, but you got one of them. Demonic Tutor is still number 5.
I'm just trying to think what else is there. Birds of Paradise, probably not, but maybe.
It's in the top 10, but it's not in the top 5. Okay.
Oh, hey, I'm actually kind of surprised.
there's a big one. It's red.
Yeah. Blood Moon?
No.
No, damn. Older. Bolt. Oh, it's got to be Bolt.
No, it's not Bolt.
Not Bolt. Wow, okay.
I think Bolt's only a couple dollars.
Right. Let's see.
Costs 3 mana. There's a whole deck built around it in Commander, a theme.
Right. God, I can't think of it right now.
It's Wheel of Fortune.
Of course. Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so Wheel of Fortune is like $400.
Yeah, not surprising.
And then number 2 is Copy Artifact. You probably wouldn't get that one.
That's a really old card.
Yeah, and then
you don't really see that anymore.
Mana Vault is number 3. It's $70. Fork is number 4 at $50.
Fork, okay.
And then Demonic Tutor at $42. Well, you got one of them.
Hey, I'm honestly happy I got one. Because I'm really bad at these normally.
So we're going to move on to...
Like, I have to remember what's in the set. I'm like, oh, God, I don't know.
Right, yeah. We're going to move on to our main phase here. Today we're going to talk about staples, but first we're going to talk about the staple cards in the Commander format. So quickly, what is the Commander format for, in case people don't know?
So the Commander format is Highlander, as you can say. So basically you have a dude, or if they're partners, you can have two, as you're basically the leader of your deck, what your deck is built around. And then you have 99 singleton cards to back it up, essentially.
Yeah,
and then you start with 40 life, I believe. So you have basically double the life total. You also have Highlander damage or Commander damage, which is 21 damage from a commander, a single commander. So it's got to be from the same commander that can kill you instead.
Yep, and your deck is also built around your commander's colors. And,
right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Like that. Yep. So the color identity must match.
Yeah, it's basically the popular multiplayer format of Magic.
We like it a lot. That's basically our main format that we play these days. So, yeah. Banner's pretty sick. It's really great. It's a great social format, too, which is why we like it.
Yeah, so then we're talking about staples. So if I asked you, what if I say Magic staples, what is a staple?
So a staple is basically something you got to have. Like, it's something that will most likely be played in one way or another.
Yeah, it's cards you're going to see all the time. They're like the cards that are going to go in almost every single deck of that color or combination of colors. It's cards you're going to see almost every single time you play, sit down and play a game of Commander or Magic.
Right.
Or, you know, you could have staples in the other formats as well. Again, as a standard, they obviously change. But so it'd be cards you'd see every single time.
Legacy is definitely another one where they are. You see staples in Legacy that
right. Don't so like Legacy, you're gonna see much. Brainstorm all the time, Force of Will all the time, stuff like that.
Force is huge, yeah. Brainstorm is big. Most fetches, there's all sorts of things. Same with Vintage. Vintage obviously has the power, so.
Yeah, so now we're going to go through our top 5 staples of each color. So the cards we think we play the most and see the most. On the commander table, across from us, with we like the cards. They're good cards, obviously. So if you're thinking about just picking up cards that you want to just have around, these might be some cards to consider. So we're going to start with white. James, what are your top five white cards you came up with?
All right. So white, first one I came up with is Wrath of God, because you got to have creature removal. And Wrath is a pretty good one. It costs four. It does the job.
Yeah, Wrath's a good card. It's a classic.
Yeah, the classic card. Second one is Swords to Plowshares, because, again, that's just your spot removal. It's an instant. It gains them the life of the power of their creature, but in Commander, that's usually pretty irrelevant. You just got rid of something that's irritating, so definitely want that. And it costs one, so, I mean, what more do you want?
One of the best removal spells.
Then I next one, maybe a little more obscure, but a very good card. It's one that I run. Is Teferi's Protection. It is very good for token. Well, it's good for a lot of decks, but it's also really good for token decks, because what Teferi's Protection does is it basically makes you, it takes you out of the game for a turn, basically. Like, your life total can't change, your board state can't change, and your creatures phase out. So you're not exiled or anything like that. So, like, if it was exiled, your tokens would all disappear. But it's, they phase, which means they just don't exist, and then they come back. So
yeah, that's very good card. If someone tries to board wipe you and you Teferi's Protection, you're like, well, nope, all my stuff's safe.
Yeah, it's that's a card that you should counter if you can. And then last but not least, this one's rude but fun, is Aven Mind Censor, because people love to search in Commander, and it's like, lol, you look at the top four, you don't get to search.
Yeah, so you got some. So were those, did you read those from 1 to 5 or 5 to 1?
That was 1 to 5.
Okay.
Guys, I didn't exactly have an order. I just kind of went as
the crazy thing is I don't think we only have like one card that overlapped, which is interesting.
Oh, that's amazing, actually.
Yeah. So I'm going to go backwards here. So my number five is, I have Darksteel Mutation.
Ooh, okay.
It's an enchant creature that turns any creature into an insect that's a 0/1 indestructible with no abilities.
Ah, okay.
So it's very good at removing their commander. You know, you just stick it on there and it's just a sitting duck.
Commander removal is very good, and there's not many cards that do it. So
yeah, I see that a lot of times. I've been playing that card more and more. My number four card is, I got Ghostly Prison.
That's a good one, especially for control.
Yeah, it's a prison card, and they can't attack unless you pay two. I play that in a lot of my white decks. I've been seeing it quite a bit. Used to be more. It's slowly being played less and less, you know, but it's still a good card.
Yeah, it's still a control staple for sure.
My number three is just like the most busted white card, in my opinion. That's Smothering Tithe. You're going to play that in any deck with white, or white that white is in, because it just gives you a bajillion mana. Like,
mana's good.
You treasure token whenever an opponent draws a card. It's crazy good.
It's gross.
And then my number two is Path to Exile, which is exile a creature for one.
Basically, and swords, but
And my number one is the one we overlap, is swords.
Yeah, so I see swords is a classic.
I play swords and path in like every deck.
Yeah, swords and path, just the two best removals basically that you can get for spot removal. All right, so we're on to blue.
Yeah, what do you got for your blue staples?
So for my blue staples, my first one is Snapcaster Mage, because he's just insane. Your stuff has flashback. You know, if you're spell-based, you know, that's really good. Next one I have is Venser Shaper Savant, which is basically, he bounces a spell, and then you also get a 2/2 flash as well. So very good for, you know, it's not exactly a counter in a way, but if you don't have a counter per se, you're still able to stop what they're doing. My next one is Cyclonic Rift, because that is by far the best blue bounce spell like there is pretty much right now. Because the main thing is your board state doesn't change. That's the why Cyclonic Rift is so good. And then number two is Brainstorm, because drawing cards is good for one. And then also, if you have fetches, you're able to, you know, fetch away the garbage, basically. Mm-hmm. And then number one is, of course, Counterspell. It's a classic.
Okay. So, funny thing is, we didn't overlap too much again.
Right.
So there's a lot of cards up there you consider staples.
Blue is a big one. There's a lot of good blue cards.
But so my blue, number five, I have Counterspell. So that one overlaps. Yeah. My number four is Reality Shift.
Okay.
Which is the two mana, you exile a creature, and then they manifest the top card.
Yeah.
So it's really good just blue removal if you need to get rid of something that's problematic, and then we just get, you know, a lame 2/2.
Right.
My number three is Rhystic Study.
Because Rhystic Study is stupid.
With a boatload of cards.
So like, dumb. Because they never pay the extra one, and then you have so many cards.
Yeah, you just draw a billion cards. My number two is a newer card, but it is very good. It's also really expensive now because it's only in the one commander set. But it's Fierce Guardianship. It's basically a free counterspell if you control your commander.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with that card.
Yeah, it was in the Commander 20 decks.
Okay.
And I played in all my blue decks. But so it's three mana counter a non-creature spell, but it's free if your commander's out.
Right, which a lot of times it probably is, so.
Yeah. And then my number one is Cyclonic Rift, because that card is just, like,
Cyclonic Rift is just
everyone hates playing against that card.
Because most decks are at least summon creature-based or permanent-based, you know, and, well, there they go. Bye. All right, next we have Black. So this is pretty much 5-1, I think. So, number five for Black is Greed, because you generally in Commander have a lot of mana and a lot of life, and you want to draw a lot of cards. So makes sense. and in Black, life is a resource. So, you know, next is Reanimate, because again, life is a resource and you usually want to, you know, put something big on the field. Black likes bringing stuff back, so.
And, I love Reanimate.
Yeah, it's my play style. That's your thing for sure. And then kind of what goes hand in hand with that is Entomb, because you generally want to put the big thing into the graveyard so you can reanimate it or dread return it or whatever, you know, the 50,000 other ways Black brings stuff back. And then next is Damnation, because again, it's basically a Black Wrath, so always good to clear the field if you need to. And number one is Demonic Tutor, because you search for your win con, hopefully, for two.
Yeah, it's crazy because again we don't overlap a ton.
Wow. I'm actually amazed.
But so for me, I have number five, I have Blood Artist.
Okay,
yeah, Blood Artist. You see that card a lot, and it's, you know, whenever him or another creature dies, you drain somebody.
Yeah.
Number four, I have a newer card. It's a Deadly Rollick. It's a kill spell that's free if you have your commander out.
Okay, it's another one of those.
And it exiles a creature. Yeah.
Ooh, that's also, exiling is nice.
Yep.
Black doesn't exile very much either, so that's pretty
good. Yeah, that's why it's nice. And then number three, I have Feed the Swarm, which is the only good Black enchantment removal. Destroys a creature enchantment and loses life equals mana.
That's like the only one now, basically. Like, that just came out.
And then number two, I have Demonic Tutor.
Yeah.
Which is Search for Any Card. It's awesome. And number one is my favorite card. It's on my playmat, Damnation.
Yep.
Well, that and Kakusho are my two favorite cards.
Kakusho is your favorite card, too, but he's only good in a specific situation, though. You have to be able to bring it back over and over and over and over again, which you do that a lot. So, you know, well, it's your favorite color.
Black's my favorite color. So,
yeah, he's the Black player. Definitely. Let's see. That brings us to Red. So Red, I have, first one is Blood Moon, because generally in, Commander, you play a lot of non-basic lands, or your opponents do at least, so that makes them just stupid. So, yeah.
So you're telling me that I should just main deck Blood Moon and all my... You're telling me I should play Blood Moon in all my decks so that shut off your cradle, then.
Yeah, I mean, I would shut it
so
off.
So you're telling me here, spending it's your staple card here.
It is a good card. Next up is... Next is Rabble Master, which is a very, very good card if it's not dealt with right away. Generally, red is usually pretty aggro, and you just basically have a creature engine every single turn, and it just gets bigger. So they basically have to respond to it, or they just take a shit ton of damage. So
Rabble Master, very good in token decks.
Yeah, for sure. Next up is Bolt. I mean, that's a classic. You know, one, deal three, which is generally pretty good. Most cards that are generally like some kind of activation, mana dork, you know, does something special, is usually a low health creature. So Bolt's usually really good for that. Mm-hmm. Next one is Gamble, because searching for what you want is good. With a slight risk that you might not get it, but it's a pretty good chance.
Yeah, you're gambling that you won't discard it after.
Yeah, as long as you have a hand, at least. If you don't, then it's not good. But generally, in Commander, you usually are pretty good. And then my last one is Mob Rule, because generally, Commander decks are usually creature-based, and it can be a really easy win condition.
Mob Rule. I hate that card. The first time I seen it, I didn't know it was a real card. I was like, I seriously just lost to this? What?
I'm usually pretty creature based too, and I've lost to Mob Rule so many freaking times. I hate that card.
Yeah, so again, we don't overlap a ton, but I got Lightning Bolt as my number five.
Yep, classic.
Because that's a classic. My number four is Atali, because it's a dude that when it attacks, you can play the top cards of other people's decks without paying the mana cost, and that's, you know, free cards is good.
Free cards is good, for sure.
And then I have a newer card, Jessica's Will, that I've been playing more and more. It's three mana, and if you control a commander, you get both modes, and you add a red for every card in target opponent's hand to your mana pool, and then you exile the top three cards of your library, and you can play them this turn. So it's like basically draw three, get like seven mana in your mana pool, or five mana, or whatever your opponent's cards are.
That's pretty good, for sure.
Yeah, and then number two, I got Vandal Blast, because it's one red, blow up an artifact, or you can overload to blow up all artifacts you don't control.
Yep, blowing up artifacts is generally a good thing that red does.
And then number one, I have Dockside, because it's just dumb and makes you a million treasure tokens.
Yay, treasure tokens.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yep.
All right. So that brings us to my color, which is green. I am the green player out of the group, so this is definitely a color I know very well. Cradle is actually not on this list, even though it is a good card. It is not exactly a feasible card to have, so I did not put it on here. Unless you have like $1,000 or whatever it's going for right now.
And technically it's colorless because it's a land.
I mean, it is a land, yeah. It's a green land, though. Come on. You're not going to run in another deck. First of all, I have Green Sun Zenith, which is you search for a green creature, generally. For, you know, you pay the CMC, the mana cost of what it is plus one, basically, to put it in play, which is very good. Generally, green wants to do that. Green usually plays big stuff. And then, similar vein, my next one is Tooth and Nail, which allows you to search for two things, and then also, if you entwine it, you also put them into play. So, also very good. Costs a lot, but generally, green ramps, so you're usually okay.
So far, I'm seeing a theme that you like to just cheat big things into play, James.
Generally, I do, yeah. That's what the deck does. Come on, like all green decks do. Next up is Birds of Paradise. That's just a classic card, and it allows you to play any color. So, you know, the mana dork, but it's like a... It's the classic mana dork, and it's a all color one, so it's a good card all around. Next up is Seedborn Muse, because why should your things tap? Just untap, have them untap every single upkeep, you know? Yeah. So then who cares if you attack all out? Then you have all your blockers. And lastly, we have my number one is another classic, which is Eternal Witness, because you know, if something goes away, just bring it right back. And for like one or two.
I almost put Eternal Witness on my list, but I didn't because lately I've been playing Timeless Witness a lot more. Okay. Which is, it costs one more mana, but you can also cast it again from your graveyard.
Right, it's basically an evenness with flashback, which is nice.
All right, so my five, I got Birds of Paradise as well. This is very good in a multicolor deck. You put some mana dork that adds any color, and it's flying blocker.
Yeah.
After that, I got Cultivate. It's a very good mana ramp card.
Yeah, it's one of the better ones.
Yep, one of the better mana ramps. And then I got Beast Within. It's green removal. Yeah. Blows up anything. Another classic removal. Number two, I got Heroic Intervention because you want to give all your permanents indestructible and hexproof so you can protect your stuff in response to a board wipe.
Yep, yep.
And number one, I got Sylvan Library because you can draw two extra cards.
Sylvan Library is very good. Yeah. That's a that's another kind of classic card too. Been around for a long time, and it's pretty busted.
Yep, pay a bunch of life, draw a bunch of cards.
Yep, which again in Commander, I mean, why not?
What are your colorless cards?
We're doing Artifact first?
Yeah.
Okay. So Artifact, number one is obviously Sol Ring because it's, again, it's a classic that really can't be played in any other format. I think it's banned in most other ones. It's just insane. It's one for two mana. Like, what more do you want? Sol Ring is just disgusting. Next up, I put Lotus Petal. Which again, it's a classic. You get mana for free, essentially. Next up, I have Isochron Scepter, which it's not necessarily something that's played often, but if you have a certain deck that like needs to, that can like, you know, just destroy a spell over and over and over and over again, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Like. Counter spell, done. You counter everything. So that was three. Four is let's see here. Four is Sensei's Divining Top. That card is just absolutely busted. basically allows you to you know, kind of scry it scries essentially in a way, and then you know, if it's what you're looking for is, you know, a little further down, you can put it on top, and top is also hard to remove because in response you can put it on top of the deck, so you basically have to destroy it twice to get it off the field. So it's a really good card.
Or use Crows and Grip.
Or Crows and Grip. That works too, you know, just skip the stack. Finally, let's see here. And then for my last one, I basically just kind of do all of them, is all of the Signets. There's five technically, but they're all, you know, for their dual colors, and they're all kind of staples in every of those. Like there's Selesnya Signet, there's Izzet Signet, there's, you know, all the Signets. Those are just good for mana fix, basically.
Yeah, surprisingly, we only have a couple cards that overlap again.
All right.
My number five is Thought Vessel. It's two mana for a mana rock that taps for one, but it also gives you no maximum hand size.
Which is really nice.
My four is Swiftfoot Boots.
That's a classic. You
know, haste. and then my three is just a better version, is Lightning Greaves.
Yep. Same thing, basically.
Yeah, and then number two is Arcane Signet. That's played in like every deck now.
Yeah, that's like the better version now, but yeah.
is two tap for a mana of any, it's like a command tower on a rock.
Yeah.
And then Sol Ring's one, obviously.
Yeah.
Sol Ring. To put how staply Sol Ring and Arcane Signet are, Sol Ring is, according to like EDHREC, Sol Ring is an 83% of decks that are registered on their site.
Yeah. There's basically no reason not to run Sol Ring, like, if you have it. Like, and it's not even that expensive either. Like, you can, it's been reprinted a billion times, so you should be able to get your hands on one.
Yeah, and it's only like $1.50 right now.
Yeah. I mean, it, depending on which set you, it comes with, just buy the newest one.
Yeah, and then Arcane Signet is in 60% of decks.
Yeah, Arcane Signet is really good.
Every other card we talked about is in like 20% or less.
Right. Like, it just goes to show how like important mana is, and those cards just are mana givers, basically. So
yeah,
they're really good for that.
All right, what do you got for your crazy multicolor cards, your staply multicolor?
All right, cards? Multicolor. So first of all, I have Anguished Unmaking. It's okay. 3/2 exile, a non-land permanent, and then you lose 3 life, but, you know, whoop-de-doo, who cares? So it's a nice removal for that, those colors at least. Next I have Wear and Tear, which, it's one of those sideways 2 cards, you know, like from whatever sets those were from. But basically it allows you to either destroy an enchantment or an artifact. So it's a good, you know, like sometimes you have, because there's sometimes cards that only do artifacts, or sometimes there's cards that only do enchantments. It lets you do both in one card. So that's pretty nice. So again, good spot removal. Next up I have Abrupt Decay. That's a very good card. It is a little situational because it has to be under 3 or less mana, mana cost, but it can't be countered and it removes it. So it's pretty good. Next I have Wargate, which basically allows you to search for, you know, a specific card that you are looking for, which again, searching for your win con is usually a good thing. Mm-hmm. For my last one, I just put Ugin because he's just insane.
All right, those are pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still going to call us, but whatever.
Oh, he's colorless. Oh, technically, yeah. I guess I could say instead of Ugin, what's the other dragon? I can't think of his name right now. Nico Bolas.
Oh, okay. He's
colorful. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, just does all the things and a pain in the ass to deal with.
Yeah, my number 5 is Mirari's Wake. Yeah, double mana, really, and your creatures get 1/1. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
My number 4 is Eldamari's Call. I've been playing in a lot more decks. It's a green and a white, and you search for a creature card and put it in your hand.
Yeah, more so searching. Definitely. Yeah.
And then my number 3 is Boros Charm. I've been playing in decks that can play that because the middle mode is permanents you control getting indestructible, so you can play it like a Heroic Intervention. Yep.
Indestructible is really good.
And then you can also, if you need to, it can deal 4. It can hit someone for 4 and knock them out of the game, a player or a planeswalker. Or if you have a real big swing and give something double strike. But most of the time I use it as like a Heroic Intervention.
Yeah, you rarely use the last mode, but the other two are pretty good. Especially the middle one.
And then number 2, I got Deathrite Shaman.
Deathrite Shaman is really good.
Yeah, it's one of the few cards you can... Like, you can play in Commander. You can't play it in a lot of formats anymore other than Commander.
Yeah, it's been banned in a lot of stuff because it's pretty
but
good.
It's so good because it's like, oh, get mana, get, you know, lose life, gain life, stuff like that. And it's a 1/1/2. Like, it's good. And then my number 1 card is I have Assassin's Trophy because for 2 mana you
Assassin's
can blow
Trophy's up. Assassin's Trophy is busted.
Yeah, blow up any permanent and they get a land. Like, ooh.
Yeah. Ooh, oh no, you land. Whoop-de-doo. So we didn't really, we didn't overlap at all there, but honestly, there's a lot of multicolor stuff to choose from, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah, we overlapped a little bit on some of the other ones. Yeah, so if you, again, if you're thinking about buying some cards and you don't have these staples and want them, you please use our TCG Player affiliate link, and thank you so much to those of you that have used it.
Yes, indeed.
All right, so my crazy card this week is Chains of Mistopheles. For I'm going to read this just so you know how crazy this card is. It's a headache. It's a one in a black for
I know exactly what it is, and I hate it.
For every time a player draws a card, that player must first discard a card from his or her hand. If there are no cards in the player's hand, take the top card from the library and place it in the graveyard instead of drawing. This enchantment does not apply to the first card drawn by a player during the draw phase. So this card is confusing. And
judges hate this card. Just that's how
judges hate this card with Sylvan Library because it makes it even worse.
It does,
and it's so confusing. They made a flow chart on how this works. It goes: would you draw a card? Is it your draw step? Yes. Is it the first card you drew? Yes. Draw a card. Okay. Is it your draw step? Yes. Is it the first card you drew? No. Do you have cards in hand? Yes. Discard a card. Is it your draw step? Yes. Is it the first card you drew? No. Do you have cards in hand? No. Mill a card. Is it your draw step? No. Do you have cards in hand? Yes. Discard a card. So it's crazy. They had to make a flow chart on how it works.
If you have to have a flow chart for a card, you know the Wizards screwed up and made this way too complicated.
Yeah. It's just the old card that's crazy. That's my
What set is that even from? That's from like one of those really old sets. This is like the darker or like Arabian
Nights.
It's from
Legends.
Oh, it's Legend. Okay, that's around that time. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, gross.
All those crazy so cards. Gross. All right, James, you got a jungle card this week?
Yeah. Since that was a crazy one, my crazy card is Seedborn Muse, which we actually mentioned a little bit in the staples. Because again, why have your permanents tap when they can be untapped every upkeep? I mean, then you can swing out right and not have to care. But yeah, so those of you who don't know what Seaborn Muse does, it's literally
it's five for something.
Yeah, it's like a 4/3/3 or 4/4 or something like that. Actually, let's see what it is.
It's a 2/4.
Okay, yeah. I knew it wasn't that powerful. Like, it's not a powerful card, but what it does is insane. But yeah, it's 5 for a 2/4 creature spirit that says untap all permanents you control during each other player's untap step. That also includes your lands, by the way. So, yeah, you can also respond. Mm-hmm. You know.
Super good.
Seems good. Well, I think that is about it.
Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Again, check us out on YouTube for video podcasts, Facebook. We have a Discord. Share this with your friends and others who love magic, trying to grow our community. Thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, guys. We appreciate the support.